I took a test recently. Well, really, it's more like a survey, I guess you'd say. The survey was one of those things that preachers get every once in a while to see if you're on track or whatever you are. I failed. I mean, I read it, and I answered it honestly, you know, the way I saw it. But when I got to the end of it, I realized that I didn't meet the criteria. I don't know whose criteria it was, but it wasn't my criteria. So Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he made this statement in the third chapter. He said that we are to be changed into the image of Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be. So I want to ask you this morning a simple question. I think most of us could answer it. When you look into the mirror, do you see Jesus? When you look into the mirror, do you see Jesus? We're supposed to be changed into his image. So whose reflection are you? Kind of a sobering question. All the questions that I got on that survey were kind of like that. And like I said, I didn't score extremely well. On that one, I kind of allude to some of that was there. I thought that the whole idea of preaching was to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I realized that sometimes that goes against the grain. I realized that, you know, you're petting the cat the wrong way, well, turn the cat around, right? And that's just what you do. My cat doesn't like if you pet her the wrong way, so pet her the right way, supposedly. I found many times, though, in the last almost 50 years now preaching, that you get more hostile responses when you preach the word. When you just say it straight out, you don't hold back, you lay it out. It's God's word, it's not my word. It is what he said to say. And for those people that, preachers that I know that are very bold in their approach to that, you know, that authoritative type style, there's criticism. And here's one of the things I learned out of that survey, if you want to call it that. I need to be more user-friendly. I thought that was good. I want to be user-friendly. They want me to make the Word of God user-friendly. They want me to make it exactly what it is, what's being taught in a vast majority of seminaries today, and they said it just straight out in this article, that they're training storytellers. Yeah, they are. One of the things, training entertainers. I remember being in a preaching class and that I was told, and this has been 45 years ago probably now, you're not going to get there on your personality. I said, okay, so you better prepare. You better look at the word. You better study. You better do this. People are not interested in, you know, entertainers. But what we find today, more motivational speakers. Some are great. I mean, if they wouldn't say they were preachers, I could go with them. You know, if they said that they truly were motivational speakers, I could say, yeah, you're right. You are definitely a motivational speaker. But when you put out the truth of God, unfortunately, it gets in the face of people. And it gets in my face, and I deserve it. The other instructions I was given out of reading that little survey was that I was to keep the message light. I was to be informal with a slight emphasis on Scripture. You know, kind of slide it in under the... Let's not get wild up here in the front now. Slip it in. Non-confrontational. Because if you get into an exposition of the Word of God, it's going to be way too weighty, and you will become irrelevant. Hey, That's what it said. I'm sorry to tell you all, I never attended that seminary. That was not the seminary I ever went to. I guess I was 45 years too late to get into that one there. Can I tell you this, that Paul had something totally other in mind when he addressed Timothy. In 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, the Apostle Paul lays out something to Timothy that would help a very young preacher gain strength and boldness. And he makes that charge in the very first verse of the fourth chapter. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure the afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I think that's great advice. It was incredible advice to Timothy in that day. It was exactly what Timothy needed to hear. And Paul lays this out, and there's really in those five verses, there's just nine what I would call simple imperatives in those in that day. And I want to give you those this morning because I think you would understand the ministry better. I think you'd understand this ministry better or me better because, number one, I got to remember whom I'm accountable to. Yeah, I love you guys, but I'm not accountable to you, not in that regard. I'm accountable to the one that I need to lay out his truth by. When Paul was pressing towards the end of life, he knew it. When he was writing Timothy, he knew that it wouldn't be long until he'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It wouldn't be long until he present before God the things that he has done in the flesh. And you know something? He was excited about it. He didn't dread that. He wasn't afraid. He never doubted. He didn't do any of those kind of things because he knew that he had been true to the word of God. And now he's talking to Timothy. He says, Timothy, you're young, but your day will come. Like so many that we have around us today, or those that have gone before us. I was reviewing that list just the other day. All those that have already gone. And I know in my heart that they went prepared to meet God. And he said, Timothy, one day you will give an account, and I want you to stand before God unashamed. I want you to lay it out before him. Timothy, you need to be more accountable unto God and less accountable to people's opinions. I think that's what every one of us need. Timothy, you need to have a fear of God, a reverence of God. You need to have all of those things. In the book of Romans, in the 14th chapter, Paul would say to the church at Rome, he said, we shall stand before the judgment seat of God. And in verse 12, he goes, and there you will give an account. You'll give an account unto God. You won't give an account to each other. You're not going to give an account to your sister or your brother or Aunt Fable or Uncle Mabel. Sounded good at the time. Just remember who you're accountable to. That was the first thing. The second thing, which is great, he said, preach the word. Don't give your opinion. Just simply preach the word. Now, because without that, pastoral ministry is a farce. That's exactly what it is. You preach the word, the message that we are to proclaim out of this pulpit. Yes, it will be a stumbling block. It trips people up all the time. Paul said it would do it. It will do it. It will be an offense. Jesus became a rock of offense. Why? Because we're not going the same direction. And sometimes he has to stop us. Sometimes you trip over it. Does he do it to be mean? Never. He does it because out of love for you, for me. It's out of love that he continues to do this. The word to some people is, well, it's foolishness. I mean, utter foolishness is what the word says. But I recognize that every day. I look in the mirror and there's foolishness. Every human inclination within any one of us, we want to make people like us, don't we? I think you would. You would like to have everybody like you. You don't want to be a problem to anybody. And what do we do sometimes? We tell them what they want to hear, right? You agree with them, even though you don't agree with them. You just simply tell them, this is what I see, and this is what I... Paul wasn't like that. Paul loved people. I know the first two words of that are kind of reprove and rebuke, or kind of negative in some ways, if you take it that way. And to exhort, that means to encourage. It means to do all of those things. But he said to Timothy, Timothy, just proclaim the word. I mean, and not be ashamed. Do it boldly, Timothy. Lay it out before the people, because that is the heart of every pastor. That's what you're called to do. Preach the word. Lay it out to them. You know, that's what I'm to do. And I am accountable unto God. If you don't preach the word, if you just lay things out for people, then pretty soon that they're just going to enjoy the church, but they're not going to honor God. They're just not going to have it. There's nothing more vital in the church ministry than preaching this word. Now, I know that by reading some of those newer surveys, newer magazines, that they're very high on entertainment. I have nothing against entertainment. I really don't. But it's no substitute to preaching. They're high on dramas. I like dramas. I mean, we put on some really good dramas, and they've been wonderful, and we talk about them, and I still think about them all the time. I love music. But music sets the tone for what God has called us to do, is to preach the word. And we preach the word better because of the music that goes before. If I don't, then I abdicate the very things that I said I would do. I'd be honest with the word of God. So, Timothy, preach the word. The third thing that he said to him, be faithful in season and out of season. That's not talking about your clothing style, people. That's talking about preaching is non-negotiable. It doesn't depend on what you see, what's going on around you, because it is the very heart of the ministry. I know it's not always popular. I know that we get shut down all the time. Could you actually, I guess one of the reasons why I would definitely not live in Houston, I need the mayor to approve what I'm going to preach. I guess I know one big church down there that does that. One of my favorites, as you well know. In season and out of season, it doesn't change because public opinion changes. It's not going to ever change. At the argument of today is simply that, you know, you need to spend more time, as I just said, to reach the unchurched. I agree. I agree totally. But how you reach the unchurched? You can entertain them, and they'll come. But as long as the entertainment's good, they'll keep coming. But if the word is not reaching their hearts, all you've done is entertain them. They're not going to change. They're not going to be anything different. The dramas could be great, and it's wonderful. The music is always great. But if you do not preach, if you don't lay this word of God out, that attraction, once again, will be nothing more than the church, and it won't be God. So he says, in season and out of season. Timothy, just preach, whether it's popular or not, just preach the word. The fourth thing is those three words. He says reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Preaching is a balance of all three. All three. I never enjoyed a preacher that every time he got up, he rebuked me. I didn't like that. We've had, unfortunately, hear it once or twice. One that I made the comment to him, he said, do you like me anymore? And I said, there's no reason to beat the sheep. He had left out the very encouraging part. In other words, it was just a beating. And there's no beating that's good. If God wants to do that kind of stuff, well, then God will do it in such a loving way. Yes, you will be reproved. Yes, you will be rebuked. But you will also be encouraged, too. Because he's always going to say how much he loves you. I can't always be Mr. Positive. I'm sorry, I just can't. I have to reflect the entire Word of God, not just part of it. You know, there's scripture passages we could read all day long, and you get all excited about it. 23rd Psalm is one of those. John 14 is one of those. One of those things that, you know, are just great and wonderful, and you can really get behind that, and it's just fantastic. You want to hear that all the time. I want to be encouraging. I want to encourage you to walk the way Jesus walked. I want to encourage you when things aren't going the direction you think they ought to go, that you look unto the Savior, and he will show you the direction that we are to go. And he will do it in such a wonderful way. But there are days that correction is needed. If you don't have corrections, then you're not one of his. And all of us need that kind of corrections. Do you tell your children that everything is wonderful and you're doing good and you're doing all these kind of things when they're not being good? I mean, Doc Spock might have done that. Or do you tell them the truth? Do you let them know the truth? I think that's what a parent's for. There are times that children need correction. Amen. I never had any, I know. Yeah, okay. But that was the fourth thing. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. The fifth thing that he said, don't compromise. That, and he made it very clear. Look at verse number 3 again. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're just not going to do it. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We have a new little filly out in the pasture. All she wants is to come up here and bother me when I'm working. I'm digging a ditch because we got a water leak. I mean, I'm in the mud, and it's about 2 feet in the ground, and I'm soaking mud. I can hardly lift my boot out because it's going to stick. And she's over there nibbling at my hat. She walks right into the mud to be right there. Pay attention to me. I'm the most important one here. You know, that's exactly what she wanted, that right there. I was having a difficult time. She wanted me to compromise my digging, and I wouldn't do it. He's saying, Timothy, don't compromise. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Because all that will happen when you compromise here, you'll have to compromise somewhere else. When you tell a lie, you'll have to lie on top of the lie and the lie and the lie. And then you'll run out of where the truth really was. So just don't compromise. We have abundance of ministries. And you can see them every day on television. There are some good ones. No two ways about it. But there are some that play nothing but to the audience's taste. And that's what they do. They call that the felt needs. Ever had a felt need? I have them every once in a while. It's called Bluebell. Preachers today have an obsession. And I think all of us do in some regards. We want to be relevant, don't you? I mean, you don't want to be archaic. You want to be relevant to the day. That's why we do some music. That's why we do a lot of other things. But being relevant, yeah, it's a style of ministry. It's right out there. They call that seeker sensitive. You ever around those kind of people? Anybody ever heard that before? Seeker sensitive? I mean, that's quite a popular thing today. I mean, it's been that way for about 20 years now. That's kind of like user-friendly. Make it all those kind of things. Paul had a different name for it. He called it tickling your ears. Ear ticklers. I tell you this, when you quit preaching the word, they'll fill in every time. When you quit preaching the word and you get scared and you're afraid that people are going to say something, I promise you that void will be filled with those that want to tickle your ears like that little filly. All she wants is me to scratch her between the ears. That's all she wants. My friends, you can't have it both ways. You cannot have it laid out to you that way. He said, he made that very clear. Look at verse number 4 again. He goes to it and says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's what happens when you quit preaching the word. We start buying into all the things that's out there for us right now. That he makes it very clear that it's there. Because people have a large appetite for that. They have an appetite for that style of preaching. It's non-confrontational. It tells you everything that you want to hear. You're excited about it. You'll come back over and over and over again. You'll tune into that same person. Why? Because you're never offended. They never say anything except pick me up, encourage me, pat me on the back, tell me it's okay if I got a little boo-boo on my knee. You know, come on over here. Mommy will kiss it and make it feel better. That's 20th century. 21st century has now begun with that very same thing. It's come to the evangelical movement. It comes to churches like this that still believe that the Word of God has to be preached. But unfortunately for many, we became afraid and we've been lost. We're lost to the very things that made us who we are. Not just confrontation. You know, that's not something anybody likes. But it is when you preach the word, when you stand and you are a biblical teacher. That's part of the preaching. Teaching and preaching goes hand in hand right there. But many preachers are afraid. They're fearful that they might turn people off. Well, okay. Public opinion's strong, but I'm not a politician. And I don't need to check the wind and the direction, find out where this thing's going, where it's not going to go. But believers everywhere are turning that direction. They're walking away from the very things that God said to Timothy that you dare not walk away from. He said, if you do, and those people say the things you want to hear, and your ears are being rubbed, and everything's wonderful, pretty soon you'll turn away to a fable. You'll turn away to search after something that is not there. You're looking for something that millions of believers, they want something extra biblical. They want a revelation. They want a prophecy. They want all these crazy things. They want some kind of mystical experience. Well, this is not a New Age church. You're looking for mystical things? Well, I love this. I'm sorry. Little things go through my mind at this time, and maybe not appropriate to this age group. I was going to say Willie Nelson can help you with the mystical part. We can't reinvent this word. Man, they're difficult scriptures, but you can't twist them to make your theology work out within that scripture. You can't do it. It's not allowed. You can't do it. There's no cutting off a certain passage just because you may not see it the way the Bible spoke it. You can't do it. We will never be politically correct in our day. It won't happen because that's not preaching the word. So he said, don't compromise. The sixth thing that he said to him, be sober. Look at verse number 5. Be sober in all things. He says, but watch thou in all things. He doesn't mean being long-faced and a prude of a Christian. That's not what he says. We don't need any more mule faces. We need more makeup. That's what we need. No. Okay. Don't be dreary. Don't be joyless. Make sure that your demeanor and everything about it, be happy. Come on. Be happy about who you are in Christ Jesus. Preach the word that it's exciting. It's enjoyable. It's all those things. Why? Because there's stability in that word. That's a solid foundation. Lay that out before everybody. It's called self-control. Do we know anything about self-control? Do you know anything about steady character? I like people that know where they are going and how they're going to get there, that are strong in what they believe, and they can stand on that every day. He's saying, Timothy, that's what I need you to be. I want you to be sober in all things. In other words, I want you to be steadfast in the preaching of this world. Because we got polar opposites today. We got whimsical, we got superficial, we got celebrity preachers. Do we not have celebrity preachers? They can be right there. They're great on any talk show. They never get out of whack on anything. But that's not what he called them to be. He didn't call anybody to be a celebrity preacher or a televangelist when it requires that you compromise what you believe. He said, what did he mean by be sober? Be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Steadfast, rock solid, faithful. That's what he meant by that. The seventh thing that he said to him was endure hardship. Now, if you say something that people don't like, you're going to endure some hardship. He says, but watch thou in all things, verse 5, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Endure the affliction. In other words, the hardship's coming. I mean, it will come. If you tell the truth, it's always going to come. But if you're looking for applause, you're not going to get that. Not if you preach the truth. But that's not the standard of success. That's the standard of success in our world today. You can come on, and if you got enough people out there that buy into what you believe, they'll clap for you, they'll applaud, and they'll go on and on and on about that. But that's not what God's ministry was about. It wasn't about the applauses. It's not about indulging people in their preferences and avoiding the things that you know would cause hardship. No, you just got to speak to the hardship. You just got to speak the truth. Don't worry about being offended. Okay? Offense is going to come. Jesus made that clear. They didn't like him. What are they going to do to the disciples? Do you think you're any different? No, none of us are different. Offense will definitely come. Hardship's inevitable. It's definitely going to come. It's a byproduct of a faithful ministry. If there are no hardships, maybe you're not saying it straight. But the ministry is what counts. If it's not effective, you got a problem. If it's not painful, you got a problem. There are times you have to say things that you don't want to say, but have to be said. Somebody's got to say it. I've had numerous occasions to be that person. You've asked me to make a statement. Prayed over that, and sometimes a statement needs to be made. My friends, trials are going to come. We're pushing the latter days right now. Those trials are going to come. Hardships will come, but they should drive us to Jesus. That's what they should do. It shouldn't be throw your hands up and cry out, the sky's falling. It should be simply that it should drive us to Jesus. That's exactly what it should do. Okay, the eighth thing that he said, I'm almost done with this. Don't panic. I see some panic out there. Do the work of an evangelist. Isn't that what he said in verse number 5? Now, he wasn't telling Timothy to give up your preaching, give up the pastorate. He wasn't telling him to do that. He said, but lay out something before them that gets your people out of their comfort zone. When a brother Sonny used to say that, he said, I came to distress those of you that are comfortable and comfort those of you that are distressed. I think that's somewhat what he was making right there. If you only stay within these four walls and you don't impact the people that you come in contact with every day, you're missing it. You're missing what God brought you into this world to do, to share his word. With his word, unashamedly. Simple thing. Do you pray for your food? I mean, in public? I know, I'm not trying to be a Pharisee here. But do you thank God in public when you, if you're at Burger King Lord have mercy. If you're someplace like that, do you pray for your food? I just want you to think about it. I'm not saying that, you know, you take that up before God. That's not in my day. But there are just simply times in life that that's comfort zone, when you just kind of look around and go, hey, No, I don't think you need to stand up and yell it out. I'm praying for everybody. No, don't need to do that. But we need to lay out before God how thankful we are, whether I'm in public or I'm not in public. I think that's something that needs to be done. I mean, anybody like to be yelled at? Then why do you keep watching those blasted exercise videos? Y'all get bent out of shape if I yell at you at church, but you're over there watching that. Hey, come on, person, get this right now. You know, they're always yelling at you all the time. That's all I ever see. You can do it. You can do it. You know, one more time. Don't they? I can tell you guys been watching those things, haven't you? Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what you got right there. They're pushing you in the workout, right? They're wanting to get more out of you. They're wanting to make that everything that you got. Well, preaching sometimes is that way. There are some times that, you know, you preach the word and it comes across very harsh. It comes across straightforward. Why? Well, because it's what God wants. Sometimes you got to have a workout within the word of God. Sometimes you just got to take it. And why am I saying that? Because you're out of shape. I still love you. So am I. But that's beside the point, too. Well, what did I start with? When you look in the mirror, whose reflection do you see? It should be Jesus. The last thing that Paul would give to Timothy in that short five verses right there, he says, fulfill your ministry. Fulfilling something is 100%. It's not halfway. He means, in the Greek, it means to carry it out fully, to perform it thoroughly, every bit of it right there. You can't do that if you're timid. You cannot make it happen if you do it half-heartedly. You can't make it happen if you're in fear. When you go to share the word of God, remember who you're talking about. You're talking about the great I am. You're talking about the King of Kings. You're not talking about Silly Willy over here. You're talking about, with authority, the very God of this universe. And you should not be ashamed of that. Lay it out before the people. There is no latitude in that kind of message. And there never will be one. Because the word is true. I know that that's not the spirit of this age. But I'm not of this age. Remember, I didn't go to that seminary. I didn't do it. Be bold, Timothy. Be thorough, Timothy. Be unrelenting, Timothy. Persevering, Timothy. Fearless, Timothy. Put your name in there, and you'll find out what he's saying. Anything less than that? Well, don't become a minister of Christ, because that's failure completely. He makes it clear. It was true 2,000 years ago. It's true today. This is the word of God. And we're to believe the word and do it. Just the way he said it. And you will enjoy it. Let's pray together.